Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. We are waiting our guests and really our host, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. He's slated to be with us shortly. And we are expecting him and really awaiting his presence. There's a lot to talk about, dear people. We've seen massacres in Charleston, South Carolina. We have witnessed what has happened in the city of Seattle, Washington, with Rachel. We've witnessed a lot. And we cannot help but wait for our brother and our friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, who is Yusuf, that is interpreting the dreams. America had a dream. African America has a dream. And Islam has a dream. And all of these look murky. Certainly the American dream looks murky. The African-American dream looks murky. The Church of Denmark, VC, looks murky. And the question becomes, is there an answer from the Lord? We're not talking about the Lord who came in anyone's person. We're talking about the Lord of all systems of knowledge. What are the theological answers? What are the philosophical answers? What are the answers from God himself? And with us to talk about those issues and give us proclamations and understanding is none other than our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, from one of the most important battle stations in the history of our people's struggle. We want to go to the other side of the Pettus Bridge, Selma, Alabama, heart of the Black Belt. Not far from the bloody Black Belt. Blood is spilled in the South at Denmark Vesa's spiritual home, place that was burned and raised the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Imam Muhammad had a great interest in the African American Episcopal Church. He wanted to address them and tell them that their beginning in Christianity was similar to our beginning in Islam. We hope to have that conversation. I hope to reach out to Bishop John F. Bryant, a colleague of mine who was in ministry while I was an imam in Baltimore. I hope he was at Mother Bethel. So may God have mercy on our people as they suffer and as they continue to struggle to establish truth. I bring you none other than Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam from the great city of Selma, Alabama.
Dear beloved audience, with Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We witness that God is one alone. There are no other gods with him. No partner, as he reveals in Quran to Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon us, for us than anyone who comes to him, that they come only as a servant, not as a god, an office holder, sharing power in divine office. They come only to serve him. There is none like unto him, and we witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, to whom this Quran was revealed during the month of the fast, Ramadan, is his servant and his messenger, peace be upon him. We salute him with the traditional salute, the prayers, and the peace be on him and on his following and on his family and all of what follows of that tradition. Dearly beloved audience, let me dispense quickly with protocol and come in the guise with Adam, of Adam. The Bible is quoted as saying that the meek shall inherit the earth. But really, it does not mean meek in that sense. It means those who are given to the natural orientation in the very order of creation itself of peace. Because when the context of similar verses, it said, blessed are the peacemakers. So there is a principle of peace throughout the material creation. So it's only befitting that Adam, the crown of that creation, would be given a greeting that expressed a desire for peace in the valley, in the soul of the human being. Not hell, not hello, not go to hell. That's the sentiments attached to the quiver in the west. But the kibbler in the east, the kibbler in the east, is toward peace, harmony, agreement, and non-dominance. And that's what the celestial soul of Muhammad preferred, not the hell creating, domineering, egocentric mind of the people who felt that they could make the sun rise from the west, making mockery of Ibrahim and his dedication to the natural order, orientation toward the east. So we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you, the greeting of As-Salaamu Alaikum. Again, we continue in our series, debunking the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. And today we would like to bring a subtitle, and it's based upon the contents of the events that was recorded in terms of human time on June 16th, 2015, as reflected as an embodiment, of the signs of the times as reflected in the New York Times. But in Allah's sight, there's no day. So even though we initiating our discussion from that period, we'll run all the way until this evening in terms of the mega events that are happening on this planet. Brother Imam is very diligent and dedicated. We respect that introduction he gave. We wish all the Muslims 1.7 billion strong around the planet a Ramadan Mubarak. We ask Allah to bless them to learn discipline and self-restraint, to restrain from those things that are pervading, to control the emotional nature to avoid anger, watch our mercurial tongue and what we express, facilitate mental and spiritual clarity by reading 130 for the Quran each day, enhancing our Adamic light resurrection, resurrective impulse of social concern, sympathizing and empathizing with the hunger of the poor on this planet, feeling the pains of hunger the way they feel the pains of hunger. We ask all of this of Allah during this month of Ramadan, and we ask Him to have mercy on this country and bless the American people to somehow come into that unique wrapping that only Ramadan can give the human being. That they go to Matthew and they understand that this fasting that we're doing was prescribed for them who came before us, the followers of Isa and those of Musa. Fasting was prescribed to go to that book where it talks about the faith that moved mountains in Matthew, but then it gives a disclaimer that they cannot have that kind of faith unless they fast and pray. Unless they make pass and salah. That's what American people need a rapping. The pirate flames of anger and hate that characterize that pawn. Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N. That pawn, Dylan Storm, Ruff or Roof. I say to the irresponsible man that has created this heat, this stormy, heated weather environment, that you get your rapping, that Allah have mercy upon you and get your rapping upon your soul so that you can constrain your desire for power, fame, wealth, pleasure, and status. Your desire for heaped up horses and women and children, controlling the means of production in this world's life. Again, to those of you who happen to be fasting Ramadan Mubarak, and a special greeting to our brother who's put his heart and soul in this broadcast, to he and his family, Ramadan Mubarak. We got
Ramadan
a lot.
Ramadan Mubarak to you.
Yes, sir. We got a lot to talk about today. On June 16th. The New York Times led with an article talking about Muslim work to shed stigma tied to terror, a tolerant vision of al-Islam. The undercurrent of that statement is that after all these years, after ignoring Bilal, refusing to cooperate with Bilal, after listening to the blessed Imam, now after 50 years of his mission, when God himself is going to intensify the popularization of that mission, as we move beyond this 40-year period, we see now Ishna and others, they put out a statement yesterday imitating Bilal, coming with the outward form of the message of Bilal, but not the Ka'ab Salim that Imam Muhammad was blessed with. Good public relations, good fronting, good front men, all is well and good, but only the soul of Bilal has been missioned by Almighty God to express the balance sober. Tolerant deen that Muhammad brought. His soul drenched in the solid blood, drenched in the and sorry like puss. To the 17 million keys. Not to try Hermes like to steal the mission and to co-opt it for your own egocentric purposes. If you won't advocate this to the press, why didn't you say yes? But we sure miss our brother Imam Muhammad that taught us this for years, and we ignored it. We ignored it because he came with hair napped at Bilal, and we were not strong enough to meet the test of our beloved prophet who told us if one came to us with leadership and with hair as nappy as Bilal, that we should follow him. We failed that test dismally. But we want to make up and we want to repent. And even though he's passed from this physical pain, we don't want to steal his work. We don't want to build for his work. Yes, we're standing behind it, but let us give him the credit as an American, as a man from the descendants of ex-slaves. Let us give him credit for leading the charge, for bringing back in a magetic-like form the original repression message that Prophet Muhammad demonstrated in his life and that God revealed to him through Al-Quran. But in the story, the first guy that they quote in the article is one like named Yusuf. That's an irony. Allah arranged the article to be dealing with Yusuf, the very first human being. So now you cannot take the place of that Yusuf that was put in a pit, that was sold by his brothers, that Allah raised up and put him in Pharaoh's house, and he refused to break the moral cloak. The evidence indicated that his shirt was not torn from the front, that he was not morally lusting at power, at privilege and status and wealth in Pharaoh's house, like many of the African American leaders today that's on the rooftop. Brother Imam, I don't know, maybe I should have canceled out this first day, first Friday in this blessed month of Ramadan, this day that Adam was resurrected, and the day that he was created, and the day that he'll be resurrected.
Oh, I want you to speak. We're waiting.
I'm picking up only the frequencies and the vibrations that one can only get during this blessed month of Ramadan. So let me reach up to the ceiling and come back down. The one who, after being falsely accused, kept the moral cloak, put in prison, tested with his skills that God has blessed him, the baker and the butler, but before he demonstrated his skills, he acknowledged the one God. He called them to the one God. After he accurately interpreted their dream, the butler reduced and the baker crucified. His prison sentence was prolonged because the butler forgot him, but he did not give up. And in time, the Pharaoh himself heard about his moral excellence, heard about his Pajula-like tech winning skills, heard about all of that, sent for him. But before he left, he stuck to the cloak even more rigid than Muhammad himself. Muhammad himself said that he would have took the early out. But you, Yusuf, hey, go back and ask the ladies, so that I can be completely and thoroughly morally exonerated from any wrongdoing. This one that God Almighty sent through trials and tribulation in his whole saga is a beautiful story. And you got the audacity to come over here and superimpose yourself on that grand legacy of a most beautiful story established here in America, orchestrated, designed, planned, schemed, executed, and implemented by the Lord of all systems of knowledge. You had the nerve to come over here when Almighty God told you in the surah Quran that he bestows his grace and mercy upon whom he will without measure. Came over here with a Medina Yahudi type attitude, not wanting to acknowledge the move that God made because Muhammad was not from the tribe of Isaac. You not want to acknowledge the move, the establishment of the Joseph paradigm among the ex-slaves in America, because their hair was nappy as Belial. So after making the lead, establishing that there's a Yusuf on the scene in America that's been raised up to bring back the balanced religion, because this religion was built for people who are witnesses that are justly balanced in their mindset, not given to the extremes of winter, not given to the extremes of summer, not being willing to revert back to the Jahiliyyah of the Quraysh, and that mentality that you really embodied in terms of cultural and civilizational influence and engrafted them upon the pure religion of Al-Islam. You allow darkness to come upon the Ummah. You refuse to share the wisdom of this religion, and our blessed Imam said that you became lost because you allowed the masses to wander in darkness. 80 to 85% of the masses in your world cannot even read classical Arabic. All these centers of the Prophet Muhammad in the overwhelming masses to not even read the Quran. And you got the unmitigated gall and the presumptuous arrogance to come over here and try to snatch a mission that does not belong to you. Yusuf kept the first life of the human being intact. All life begins in water, and Yusuf refused in making his aggressive but humble rules toward liberation and freedom. He refused to break the moral cloak. So the second article that is correlated and coordinated with this first theme, it talks about a thirsty Colorado is battling over who owns raindrops. Dilly dearly beloved people, Yusuf knew, and we know that Allah sends down rain to give life to the dead earth, but they don't have any water. And this article was written by a man named Jack or Jacob. And we know during the olden days, people were deprived of water in the well because Jacob went around stopping up wells. Colorado State. That's flagrantly and blatantly violating the prohibition that Allah gave the human being, the sons and daughters of Adam. Do not allow your precious mental and physical cerebral faculties be tainted with anything that distorts your mind. So leading the nation now in this new drive, this new immoral drive to keep the masses doped up, as in Brave New World, where Huxley said the masses would be on some kind of dope to get them to tolerate bad economic conditions, income inequality, service jobs, no real big money-making jobs. So we'll dope them up all day. Colorado is the experimental state for that. Just like California, another state without water, who have pushed movements all across the country to break the moral cloak. Well, brother, what are you doing? I'm showing you that these events are commotion, followed by off-repeated commotion, that this is the day of Yom Nadin, that this is the day of Yom Kiyama, and the very earth has been inspired, and the social order of man unwillingly has been inspired. Events are throwing off signals as to what our Lord is doing. Then the third article, NAACP. See, we go from Jacob, who wrote this article on the lack of water in Colorado, to Rachel. The next article, it got down here, an NAACP leader resigns. And once upon a time, she's not new, during the great 50-60 freedom struggle, a man named John Howard Griffin wrote a book called Black Like Me. If you look at this lady's resume and her biographical trail, she is involved at Howard University. Said she attempted to bring a lawsuit, subtly connecting her up with this first attempt to be black like me, as was documented and recorded by John Howard Griffin. Then we flip over in Charleston at a religious institution that bears the same name of our brother that's hosting this show. Religious mean alive. Religion mean alive. I think it's Alfred Methodist Church, if not Alfred Baptist Church. And the leader of that church has the reverse name of John Howard. His name is Howard John. So you see, the NAACP woman in that event taking her straight into Charleston. Taking her straight into Charleston. And there are two diggers in Charleston in its history that constantly bring up the name Joseph. give up Vizi, that second in a trilogy of early 19th century liberators, starting with the prime initiator, the one who bore the name of the Archangel of Revelation, gave apostle as a signal that eventually our liberation can only be completely accomplished when we come upon that which God revealed during this month of Ramadan, and that Gabriel brought, that Jibril brought to Muhammad. Before Farad Muhammad ever held that Quran in his hand, before Imam Muhammad, the blessed Imam, ever stood over his daddy with that massive Quran that was photographed by the late Garden Parks with the same name as Rosa Parks. Before that photograph had been taken, Almighty God had already sent a signal that I'm going to deal with the worst tort in human history. Tort is a body of law where individuals transgress against each other. And the mastermind of tort in the West is one by the name of William Prosser. And the greatest tort in the history of humanity is to reduce over 20 million Africans to animalistic chattel slavery, and then to take away their two highest senses, the sense of hearing and the sense of vision. And it's not one, but one mode of reparation for my servants who went through something like that. That mega tort. What remedy, what reparation? Money will not repair that. Damages will not repair that. The only thing that will repair that is that which is a healing for all men. So as it was in the beginning of our official struggle, that was unofficial struggle years before Gabriel Prosser. But it became polarized. This same servant that was born during the year of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, he was used by Allah to declare, eventually I'm going to liberate them with Quran, Kareem, with that which gave about to Muhammad during the night of power. That which he brought to my slave, Muhammad, during the night of power, the night, that night which is better than so many months. That revolutionary night, that revolutionary light that brought a book that great mountains would have to crumble before it. Great governments would have to look. If there ever was a book that these mountains would have to crumble before, that's Quran Kareem. And we see in the day as Bilal had the Quran in his hand, the roofs are caving in, the governmental powers are caving in. They can't solve these problems. They're going to have to admit it. The man said these problems are too big for them, and this devil got a plan that they'll run to him for liberation out of Zion, for salvation out of Zion. But he planned and he creates. But Allah is the master planner. He is the master creator. And he put this Quran in our hand to rescue these fallen governments, these impotent governments that we see developing on the planet during this day of Yom Kippur. Two other articles. Jack, with his knowledge of Rachel, came up with the I Am God. And so they talk about this fella, Jeb Bush. He's tied in with the scheme of the ambush, the false Moses that came up with the science as to how to ambush the people through religion, through the full sacred letter, the tetragrammaton, that I am, that I am. And so Jeb is a form of jab, J-E-B. And the ambush is an aggressive, subtle, deceitful form of warfare. And the Bushes in our history represent that old idea that was started on the mountain of sin, Sinai, that God is the I am human being. And so Jeb kept saying on his announcement, I am my own man. Made a point, I am, I am, I am. Yeah, where does that come from? That place in the Bible where Jacob wrestled with the angel, J-A-B-B-O-K. Phonetically, that B-O-K, you take one of the O's out of book, you get book. Knowing how to jab at the people, to fight with the people through knowledge of the book. And El Baccarat, as I read my first juice, it talked about how they jabbed with the book. They wrote it with their own hand and said that it was from God. Jabbing with the book. Seeking in it something crooked. And then tied into that, Bush had an argument with the Pope. He challenged the Pope when the Pope brought sides back to the dean and took the position that he doesn't take instructions from the Pope on that. And one of them said that the Pope had no business dealing with scientific matters. The Pope is a student of Muhammad. The Pope, no. Pope Francis know that the Muhammad, the common man, came to receive the mantle of science back from the elite. The common man, the Umi prophet, was given the keys to science. So he said, science is his weapon. All these Joseph in Charleston, Joseph the current mayor, Joseph Riley, the friend of this young man who gave law enforcement all that he needed, to sum him up, a redneck-looking Caucasian, Joseph Meek. That's his name, Joseph. Joseph Riley, even connected up with this low level of sports. These fellas out in Oakland, the home of the masjid named after Imam Muhammad, took care of business with the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. Every time they showed this boy Curry, Stephen, they show his daughter named Riley. Oh, she's a 2-year-old celebrity. Well, brother, that's just one coincidence. Well, this man is coached by another fella named Steve Kerr. And you hear that Kerr, the same Kerr that's in Curry. And they said that he the first coach to win this thing since an individual by the name of Pat Riley. So how is that tied together then? That this one Stephen has a relationship to a daughter in this context named Riley. And then this coach, Steve Kerr, also tied into the coach that was the first rookie to win that thing in 1 year, Pat Riley, who coached with the Lakers. But there's another team in L.A. that should have been up there possibly with the Warriors from the West, the San Diego Clippers. But they choked when they played the Houston Rockets. And their point man is not named Steven. His name is Chris Paul. Now, I could go deeply into this, but if you study Bible, Paul was one of the ones who killed Stephen, who was the first sincere disciple that went out and taught in the gent. They brought him before Paul's group, the Sanhedrin, and they stoned him to death. So, the idea of Christian is not, and power of Christ is not just Chris Paul, Christ and Paul, but it was Stephen, the one on the championship team. And that rally ties us into Charleston in the idea of Joseph, which is the lead sign in this Sign of the Time newspaper, but it's related to the work of Muslims in our effort to bring a tolerant picture of Al-Islam to America. So Jack married Rachel, but he loved Rachel, but he didn't love Leah. And so in this day of wonders upon wonders, this Rachel hit the news. And before the story could die out, this big money player on Wall Street hit the news. So now we have Rachel in the news, and we have Lee in the news, or Leah, his wife. Go check it out. The same day that this thing was happening, when a signal on the 200th year of Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo, when this scheme to bring the people low by immersing them with a religion that's not rational, that's rooted in overinflation of the feelings, in the hamstringing of the rod of the logic of the male in the human soul, the logic in the inflating of the heart center, and the inflating of the emotions, and the inflating of the sentiments. This is the Waterloo for that false religion. The imam said that it's time for the false light to be extinguished. And he said that back in 1975. So this player hit the news. James or Jacob Lee, a Wall Street player of expert skills, brought on the news. They say he was 6'2". And when we look at today's date, yesterday's date, the 6th month and the 15th in the year 2015, we see the double six. On today's paper, the lead story is about across the planet, 60 million sons and daughters of Adam are on the run from war, murder, starvation, and mayhem. But that's all right. Adam was resurrected on 60-arm span. And in time, these neglected masses, they are going to come into a better world after we get through doing our work by resurrecting Adam here in America. Jack could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. Together they licked the plate clean. Leah, L-E-A-H, lean, L-E-A-N. Now, this fellow, Dylan Storm Roof, it's pronounced, they call him Ruff, but it's clearly R-O-O-F. And many of us as African Americans are looking at this fellow and using that to suggest that somehow the old racism is coming back. Let me tell you, in America, there are two kinds of racism. There's the jury that's openly and blatantly sponsored by the state. For instance, in the old days of Jim Crowism, and don't you compare this stuff as being the same. When he killed those two people, those nine people, I'm sorry, the forces of the state, the sheriff, and the unofficial deputies of the sheriff, the high sheriff of that county, backed by the unofficial deputized forces, the Klan, would have rallied around this murderer. It wouldn't have been a bunch of black state representatives and senators, a bunch of black law enforcement agencies, people, policemen, state troopers, a bunch of security people all around, African American. It would have been just a bunch of people operating under the color law, protecting this young man. And when they tried him, he'd have had a 5-minute kangaroo trial. And just like the murder of him in the deal, he would have been peed in a hot New York minute. Yes, there's de facto white supremacy in this individual's soul. But the man told you the only way you can deal with that is to remove these images of divine. But complain that with their jury, white supremacy, with police guns and military guns, and the power of the judiciary, and the power of Governor Wallace, and the power of the Alabama legislature, all that is lined up legally as a matter of law to bring you down is not the same time. But nevertheless, it can result in extremely negative consequences. So we must condemn it. But we must know who the real culprit is. And the real culprit is not this Dylan, these folks on the roof have created an environment, a stormy, tumultuous environment. That's why they got a new name in Storm. Look what he said. You raping out a woman. Is that an accurate statement? He's a white male chauvinist. He want to see his women as still Miss Ann on a pedestal. High up on a pedestal. He's denying the reality. So in order to keep Miss Ann glory, he got to act like she being made. No, Miss Ann is running out there. Ain't nobody raping Miss Ann now. Yes, he's right. You see that his women now are going and going toward the camp of the African-American male. And not just him, many are being put in a state of anxiety and panic about their manhood. Jitter putting pressure on them. The out-and-out paganization of America. The organization of America is putting pressure, and he's trying to hold on to his male, but I think a PD guy taking my women, but no, she's not cooperating, she's being raped. You silly sack-like brothers, out there making these commercials, letting Jake manipulate you with their markets, Wall Street and public relations great wisdom given to them by Paul's nephew, Obama. How to use this psychology in a practical way to change public will. No, Edward Bernays is his name. So all doing the ads now, everywhere you see, they pushing this coupling. Because it's time for the prophecy. The Gentile reaching his fullness and bringing him down. Showing discord, as Quran say, literally, the first understanding of the verse between man and wife. Destroy the Jews' family, the Gentile family. Destroy Esau's family life. Use all kind of strategies to destroy it. Even use that African-American who detests Esau. Use him as a battering ram to help finish him off. And so he's afraid. He's panicking. And this is what we as African-Americans have to understand. The civilizing self-influence of a dying Jesus on the cross have not took the beast out of this Caucasian male. And if you mess around and if you aggravate him too much, he doesn't have the Abana-like civilization that you got out of Africa. Even though these folks dealt you a bad blow in Africa, your great-great-grandmama was raising a white-looking baby. And so you know how to socialize with all of it. You're not going to just go stomp down crazy. But you put that Gentile, as the man say, in a corner. And all that cave-like aggression that fed the Christian to the line will come back out. And you right here doing all this woofing and killing up each other. You don't have no answer when a little bitty white boy going to church and kill off some of the cream of the black crop in Charleston. What answer you got for that? All these bad gangbangers in our community, whenever they went out to a white church somewhere, and I'm not advocating that, Senator so-and-so and so, the head of the library in the area, prominent citizen, good Christian folk, and went in there and blew nine away. This little fella ain't even finished high school, but he did a lot of damage. What if he was multiplied by 100 with all these guns out there in America? And you run around here, you dissatisfied talking about the emergence of white supremacy and the reemergence of it and all this and that. What these white folks done started back doing? But you know, we don't have the defense apparatus in our community to cover the every base. We're in a little long pawn in the game. Can go somewhere with a little weapon and kill in a matter of hours 9 and 10 of us. Don't let Jacob set you up for a scourging. As strong leaders, we shouldn't play into that game. We should tell our people, our young men, all that's happening. The man said he's not against interracial marriage. But he said we should stick to ourselves. He had great wisdom and logic. He knew the danger in that. We should take an all the men of the cloth should take an unequivocal position. No, we're not for that. Our women need husbands. And that's why some of these sisters got mad with this woman out there. It's a scarcity of men anyway. And what the white women all start talking about they black? What kind of bag they gonna put this understand? So in an instinctive level, she automatically knew that survival was on the line with death. But rational men of scripture don't get upset about this little thing. I'm studying the signs of it. Why was her name Moore before it was Dole? You know, Jacob put us all on the dole with this little crummy religion. He gave us leader church, and he kept all the meat. Gave us the crumb, put us on the dole, and he kept the knowledge of Rachel. So allow in her name given, look, your salvation is to become like the Moors of Spain. You can rise up and civilize these gens. You can work together with the Jews and the Christians to bring new civilization, and you can do it with a new African spirit. Many of the Moors in Spain, they came out of Africa. So you can be on New Africa, but with a Moor strategy. The only way that we can outmaneuver the people with the knowledge of Rachel in Spain, they were not leading it. It was the people with the knowledge of the Quran that were leading Spain. The Imam said, look, the men of my Jewish people I run across, they tell me, say it was your people in Spain that inspired us to come out of the Dark Ages and get back to science. He said that's what Jewish individuals told him. These people that have access to the great wisdom of Rachel. So rather than getting caught up in this little baby, little type history, oh, this white woman getting looking like a black woman and trying to be black and all that baby stuff. No, look at the signs in that. That little Neo Church experience. That little Emmanuel game. To bring out the man, God El, based upon the old Egyptian scheme of putting the people mind in the other world and space in the form of a you. Imam talked for hours on that shoe guard. Broke down shoe fly in the buttermilk. Shoe fly shoe to us years ago. So that's the bottom line for the African American church. But 90% of the time, and especially in this day and time, when we are no longer organized and resisting anything, when we've given up on the Freedom March, the form of the church that exists now across our community is Emmanuel, keeping the people of the under the influence of the other world and mythological Jesus, the Caucasian Savior. All these preachers been to seminary. Soon as they get there, they tell them that Jesus is not divine, that the Trinity should not be taken literally. They know this, but they go back and they look at these mega churches and all the money and all the women and all the cars and even sometimes airplay, and they don't have the strength to do what the Imam did. And make the Abrahamic move and said, Daddy, you got all this money. You got all this power. You got this big FOI on it. But I'm going to be like Abraham, Daddy. I'm going to refuse all of that. To stand upon La Ilaha Illallah. These little silver tongue preachers don't have no business to be even mentioned in the same breath with a man with that kind of spiritual strength. They're not about to reform those false teachings over our people. They're falling in love now with this movement toward bishopification. Any little jackleg can be a bishop. Give him a title. Give him some power. We know that the light is out there. We know that the Quran is out there. But that we going to play on the Quraysh idea. Whether we go along with Muhammad. given the religion to liberate our people. After Denmark V, then those people did that in 1822. They burned the church down. Then in 1834, they passed a law that you could not have any black churches in South Carolina. They built the Citadel and pointed at the direction of that mother, Emmanuel, sin of resistance, suggesting if you teach any other thing than we want you to teach, then you're going to have to face these guns coming out of the Citadel. Nobody has been messing with Mother Emmanuel the last 50 years. Why they not trying to burn it down now? Why they letting the preacher preach? Because he's preaching what they want him to preach. Continuing to perpetrate that lie on God. The man said, he said in his soul, Luke Wallace, don't you lie on God. Said, once you go to that extreme, you'll never come back. Don't you lie on God. If you're teaching that God Almighty had a son in the form of Jesus, that he begot a child, then you going along knowingly with a lie on God. And you fostering check over your people. And it said that the highest wrongdoing is oppressing people with a lie on God. So don't be running around here trying to act like these black preachers are innocent. Now, the brother who got killed, he seemed like a decent human being. But he was a very intelligent human being. He'd been preaching since he was a little boy. Did he get caught up in the idea that should I move away from the traditions of my fathers? That when I grew up as a little boy, they were teaching Jesus. Now that I'm an adult and I think like a man, should I abandon the traditions of my church? Yeah, you talk as a young man, as a boy, as a minister, but you were not born in a womb like the Nation of Islam. Your mama didn't tear no picture up in front of you of no Caucasian and told you that that was the devil. Imam had a tradition too that his mom and daddy taught. But he said, no, that tradition is void of divine wisdom. So I'm going with the divine wisdom. They went along with that when Perard called them in Detroit, uneducated people, told them that Muhammad should be pronounced Mug, and all of that. The African American church can no longer protect us, as was demonstrated in Charleston. Just like the Gentile is meeting his Waterloo, Esau. Just like this is the day and time when Allah will check the scheme of Jacob, and he's experiencing his Waterloo. We have become pawns in the game. We have knowingly joined as accomplices in the scheme of Satan out of weakness. Based upon that Surah 6 deal between the jinn and men. And these black preachers, many of them running around here laughing. Look. Yeah, these white folk think they're using us, but we using them. We got it made in our community. Every time they want somebody with a microphone, they make us the stars. Look at all these Cadillacs we got. We can get any room we want in our church. So, yeah, we making use of each other. Yeah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the book in your hands. Now let's dig a little deeper and connect up blatantly Charleston with this NAACP thing. A 105 years ago, after a preliminary meeting in 1909, forces got together in the month of May and established the NAACP. They talking about this young lady as a white being over the local unit. White folks created the NAACP. William Walden, that Garrison fella, akin to William Lloyd Garrison, Miss Mary, Joel Spinnern, and others. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. They started the NAACP. They wouldn't let Ida B. Wells be put on the board. They wouldn't allow William Monroe Trotter to be put on the board. It was primarily Caucasian, with W.B. Du Bois being the African-American point person. This is a fact. And when they start operating, they move to Beeson Street. The money man was Joel. But Joel wanted a confrontation between us and the Gentile in the long run. So he advocated a strategy through the NAACP of integration. He ruled out the black nationalistic urge in the African-American soul. That's why soon as the NAACP got started, big time in 1910, 3 years later, here come black nationalism on the scene. Noble Drew Ali, 2 years later, the Garvey movement, all the way through the 20s, to Garvey was in prison in Atlanta. Drew Ali went into the late 20s, and then in 1930, the Nation of Islam. So the NAACP, their first house was on 20. There's no difference between the 200 years. June 18th, 1815, and the 20th. That was the address of the NAACP. 20 Beeson Street. They didn't deliberately do that. Allah did that to let us know, yes, Joel, he has a scheme to manipulate this thing for his end, but I'm going to start on the outside and rekindle the nationalistic fervor of Beeson and Turner and Tulsa and all the black nationalists throughout our history. Many African-Americans don't know that the first home of the NAACP was on a street that's the same. It's this fella who in 1822 had a thing going on. And there is a Denmark, South Carolina. And I saw this yesterday, that this boy was put on an airplane at an airport called Cleveland. In Shelby County Airport. That's heavy. Because from this Denmark, South Carolina, is an individual that was involved in the Orangeburg massacre by the name of Cleveland Sellers. And they have his son on TV all day advertising the Hadif. His name is Bakari Seller. So, but once the NAACP strategy was completed in Selma, in 1965, some 50-plus years ago, the individual was under the influence of the Nation of Islam. Stokely Carmichael, Cleve Sellers, by the way, out of Howard University, took over the civil rights movement with black nationalism. And they ended up in Greenwood a year later, this same June, but 1966, down in Greenwood, Mississippi, and they came with a civil rights version of black nationalism, black power. Black power, baby, black power. That was suggesting that Cleve Sellers and Carmichael and all those black power boys could be traced back in their heritage, in their political ancestry, to people like Denmark Beasley and Nat Turner and Gabriel Prosser. So it was a matter of his historic record that he was born, birthed, and raised. It also take us into the lower world of sports. Cavaliers, LeBron James, the reverse, Brown James of Cleveland, and Jim Brown of Cleveland. Tamir Rice of Cleveland. Carl Stokes, the mayor, who dissed King, and Carl Stokes of Baltimore. All these things are weaved together by L. R. Keith, the subtle one, whose mysteries are incomprehensible to the human intellect. They fought both pie out of green trees. But that thing came during the Meredith March. And people don't know that one of the companions of Meredith was a Muslim by the name of Rauf. And that comes from the attribute of Allah, mild and piteous and indulgent. And this black power era was a transition out of pity, because we had gotten away from divine power, which our people believed in, and we took on black power. But Allah is our Rauf. And during these years afterwards, between 65, these black power boys were imploding this thing through a storm, so that the ma'am 10 years later could come on the scene like a thief in the night at the end of the storm. Cleve Sellers, right there out of Denmark, South Carolina, a proponent along with Stokely, an initiator of black power. And they got it from Elijah's disciple. Not no lead on his own. Malcolm means disciple of Columbus. He didn't have nothing. He was a disciple. And they studied this disciple who got it from Elijah. And they took it to the civil rights movement. But that's not enough. Our natural gene urges out of the DNA animal makeup want us to get our share in this material world. So the black nationalists were under the mark of the den. But the man brought us away from the mark because he had to deal with two marks, the mark of the beast in this Western devilish world and the den mark, natural nationalistic urges. Said Moses had a nationalistic urge. He was in that material basket. He was floating on that urge down the water. His people were over emotionally in religion, but nationalism was burdening him. So he had to come up out of that water to get on land to get him some danger. But if we don't watch it, we can make a fetish out of black nationalism. And we don't take that next step to get that ark that Moses got on top of the mountain, that ark that the prophet got on Mount Moor, that complete body of knowledge and principles that can orient us in an independent life where we can express the best urges of our integrationist tendency and the best urges of our nationalistic tendencies, and we can bridge and reconcile the tensions that was in the soul of black folk that the founder of the NAACP, W.E.B. Du Bois, but W.E.B. Du Bois was born whom Jacob used to push integrationists a year after Willie Pooh. So you got Willie Du Bois and Willie Pooh. And before, and Willie Pooh represents the common man coming to non-Emmanuel-like religion. So, all while they were growing up, there was a Willie Christian in Arkansas moving away from the church, moving into black nationalism. Then there was black Judaism. Then there was another Willie by the name of William Joseph Crowley, who called himself Prophet Elijah, and Irvin Poole, Elijah granddaddy, knew about Willie Crowley and used to tell the son of Willie Poole, "You're going to be just like that Elijah." See, that's what they call Willie Crowley, Elijah. And when Elijah Muhammad was a little boy, his granddaddy used to connect him up with that Elijah. And so while Willie Du Bois was moving in his direction to maximize integration, that's why he died on the day of the I Have a Dream speech, representing the completion of the integrationist movement. Selma was nothing but a fallout. But while he was on that track during the whole life cycle, Willie Christian, the first really black Jew, really Crowley, the second black Jew, but it was in the mission of the Willie Pooh's dispensation to go away from Judaism to the Muslim context. People going to have to study one day a parallel history of Willie Pooh, 1866, coming into the world, and Willie Du Bois coming into the world, 1867. Then 2 years later, Gandhi coming into the world, 1869. That's a different story. But believe me, between Gandhi, between Willie Du Bois and Willie Pooh, you are not going to be able to find too many men in the last 300 years that through them or their legacy came such a major human impact. Let's get back to the beautiful story. that front page, but also in that story about the lack of water, there is the main leader is one by the name of Jason Story, the son of Jacob. So this paper is resolving the conflict between the NAACP and its story, the Western story of Jesus, the false savior, is created by J. or Jacob. But the, and then there was a fellow in the NAACP that was named Story. His name was Morpheus Story. And if you study that history, Morpheus Story gave them the legal basis. He was a constitutional lawyer that worked all the way from Reconstruction on. And Thurgood and Houston and all them came at his heels. But the other influence was Joel. And he was born May 17th, 1875, 100 years before the Imam did his thing. Why May 17th? It was his money that led to Brown versus Board of Education that was decided on May 17th, 1954. But who started Mother Emanuel? A guy by the name of Brown. A guy by the name of Brown. What year? 1818? All of this stuff came out yesterday on the 18th, 666. He started the church in 1818. And Joel took the integrationist movement to Brown. So how can we deal with the story of the Moors and the story that they gave us of Jesus? And this is what's being reconciled in this day. Only the most beautiful story that ever existed, the story of Yusuf in Quran, it's a beautiful story. The only way that we can bring this more idea into fruition and to overcome the brainchild of Jacob, this made-up world savior Jesus, is that we got to get in touch with the story of Joseph. Look what Jacob did. How do I control the world? I brown the cow. Brown versus Board of Education. Who started that church? Morris Brown. What does Morris mean? More. In order to overcome that brown cow influence of Jacob, that they tanned the cow and they hid the knowledge, we got to get out in that field and study and do what the Imam did and came up with the great knowledge of the African Moors through the Quran. And that great South Carolinian who helped us get there, Benjamin Mays, he ended up over an institution that gave us our home, the House of the Moors. And the only place where the Imam is hanging in a historical college is right up there in the House of the Moors. The man, the town where he and Obama is from, is one from the people of the book named Emanuel. Dr. King could not take Chicago in 1965. He could not overcome the Emperor Richard Daley, Richard the Lionhearted, because told Dr. King that have an answer for the crusade that had been fought against our people. So it took the sons of Willie Pooh to come up with the information to overcome the empire that Chicago represented. When King went up there, there was a fella named R-A-B-Y, sound like Rabbi. You can't take the cosmopolitan areas unless you got an answer to the knowledge of the rabbis. Of the rabbis. And God gave Imam Muhammad the answer to the rabbis. Gave him the answer to the rabbis. Took the foundation of the nationalistic boys that started off with the natural urge in our biological makeup to get some of this dunya, to get our share of this material world so we could have home for our bodies, have shelter and food for our bodies. But that's not enough. You must go from the mark of the den to the ark that God gave all the prophets. Oh, yes. So we see in this incident of these incidents of the last few days, all the controversies in religion being projected, every last one of them. We see the history of the West, because the Western Empire began to fall when the great Emperor Napoleon lost at Waterloo and set the stage for confrontation with Germany and the other European powers until the end of World War II, when Elijah Muhammad came out of prison, the same prison that St. Augustine that wanted to build a city on this earth, that city he was in when he had his vision, M-I-L-A-N, Italy. You look up right now, you missed it. The wife of the President of these United States, Michelle Obama, right now today is over in that same city. Michelle out of Chicago. But St. Augustine, they tried to build a city of God on earth, but they couldn't do it. Only that was done by Muhammad at Medina, the enlightened city. Dearly beloved people, I've given you a lot today. All these things are being projected, and Allah is the expediter, and he's going to continue to speed up time, continue to inspire reality with the events that speak to us, until the whole world puts Yusuf in charge of the storehouse. Put the ark that the Imam extracted from the Quran in charge of the storehouse. Oh, yes. Dearly beloved audience, please have patience with me today and forgive and overlook my fervor, but the frequencies and vibrations of Ramadan took me over. This is a blessed religion. Seek your mercy these first 10 days. Glorify Allah. Fast to please Him. Be grateful for what He's done through our wonderful history. The colorful weakness in this day and time, dearly beloved audience. And I like this brother that seems like a good son of Adam, Pastor Pinckney. But listen to his name. He go all the way back to slavery. sign of the Declaration of Independence was one of his slave masters, but you hear the word pink in his name, suggesting that what we were given in this Emmanuel status was weak. It was weak. I'm getting static, dear beloved audience. We're going to bring this to a close. We're going to greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Imam, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir, I am. We're breaking fast here on the East Coast, but I'm honored. I know one thing. Allah is with us. And what we are seeing, my dear brother, in my opinion, is an old world going out with a loud noise. Disagreement Mountain. I'm quoting Nabi Muhammad. And the animals, this young animal that came out of his habitation, is not a sign of what's going to happen. It's a sign of a dead world. Any comment on that, Brother Imam?
That's right. It's a sign of a dead world. And there was a time the Creator gave the satanic forces a time appointed. There's never anything that Allah does that these minds don't imitate. And they had a time. The Imam said they had a time for the Gentile. They had a plan. And they said they're going to build this temple up in 3 days and destroy it. They're going to give them this Trinitarian idea, bring them to a global culture, and then they're going to judge them. And they're going to bring them down. What they gave the pomegranate Romans, the Imam said that pomegranate represents blood, bloodthirsty animal. They tried to civilize them, this young whelp, this lion whelp out of Europe. They tried to civilize him with a soft, suffering Jesus. And the Imam said it worked to a certain extent. It took away that harsh Roman-like savagery where they fed people to the lion. He said, but when they get under pressure, like when they go to war or they feel threatened, he said, all that primitive, aggressive animal comes out. And that's what you see happening now. And they use that aggression to rally the masses to take over power in their Republican base. But it's too late. Jim DeMint was wrong. South Carolina was not Obama's Waterloo. It's a sign of the end of the Battle of the Confederates against Muhammad. That Confederate flag refers to the Quranic situation. All these forces came up against Imam. Jews, renegade, Christian, heathen, pagan, all of them got together to try to sabotage them. But the battle of the Confederates over there talking about taking that thing down. It's 40 years. This world life is dead. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the new heaven and the new earth were brought about when the light of heaven was given to the pools down on earth. Then, beloved, Brother Imam, I'm looking. What time is it, the breaking of the fast up there?
Hey, we're breaking now.
Well, let me get off here.
No,
enjoy your iftar.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Ramadan Mubarak. Blessed Ramadan. Blessed fasting to you all. Thank you.
Wait, you're in Jersey?